We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. I hope you're having a really good week. And like I said yesterday, it is a week where you are edifying and building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And today we want to give a shout out to Advanced Christian Training Schools. 633-0432 if you'd like to get in. They have classes that are going to be running. I believe they're thinking that this session will go all the way through the end of the year. But there have been some people that have come in recently and have just fallen in love with it, so it may be a blessing to you. 633-0432, if free is your price, and gaining knowledge and insight on the Word of God is what you are aiming to do, we encourage you to check them out tonight from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 165 North Grove Street. It'll be in our fellowship hall. So want to invite you out to our vintage worship service tomorrow. We continue to have about the same number of people attending. You know, it's a pretty small crowd, you know, 10 to 15. I think the most we've ever had has been 16. The fewest we've had has been like 6. And so those numbers sound small. They are small, but remember when I came to the church, our first month, we averaged 9. We had 10, our first service 9, our second 8, our third. And so we have been there when the numbers were not good. The scripture says, despise not the day of small beginnings. So if you like singing hymns and like to hear the Word of God, check us out tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at 165 North Grove Street. Our kids ministry has been growing. A few years ago, we only had two kids in kids church. And last Wednesday night, we had 15 young people. And then we have adults, teachers, and workers, and a small little ladies class that is going on. And so we're very excited about what God is doing in our midweek service as we seek to make disciples of all people. So let's get back to Genesis, the 43rd chapter today. As I was on my way into this broadcast, I was thinking, you know, the God is so good to us in that he has given us his Word of God to show us successful practices. Show us people in the Word of God that did things in a manner that got results. And I'm also thankful that there are modern day people that we live with that we can look to and we can learn from. I am one of those people. If you set an instruction manual in front of me, I'm pretty much going to laugh at it and say, you know, I've read these things before and they're written by engineers and I know engineers and they can understand all of that stuff, but I do not have that engineering mind. I like step-by-step, easy to understand instructions. And if there are pictures that go along with it, that is very helpful. And through the years, God has helped me to learn how to do some things because I hung out with people who were experts in their field and began to develop those skills on my own merit, if you will. I remember back to Bible college when my roommate's dad would write him. We weren't very far away from home. We were only about 3 hours away, and I went home almost, probably two or three times a month. And I remember his dad writing him a letter. I would have been a junior. My roommate would have been a freshman. And his dad said, son, if you will spend 1 hour a day studying something, He said, within just a short period of time, you will be an expert in that field. If every day you apply yourself just 1 hour a day to it, you will become an expert in whatever field it is that you strive to become an expert on. And so I'll begin today's broadcast by asking you, what journey are you on to become an expert? Is it an expert in your relationship with God? Is it an expert on reaching people, lost people with the good news of Jesus Christ? Is it an expert in your field at work? Is it an expert at dealing with people? Whatever it is, I encourage you, look to the Word of God, see what it has to say about it, and then hang out with people who are experts in that field and apply yourself to develop that skill set in your life. Let's look at verse number 24. We'll set the stage and then we'll go on a little journey here. Verse number 24 of Genesis 43. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. So when we left off yesterday, the brothers were preparing their gift, and today in verse number 26, Joseph has arrived home, and they bring him the present which they had prepared and was in their hand, and they bowed down before him to the earth. Now, the first thing I want to say to you is that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy the vision that Joseph had had, the dream that he had had when he was just a teenage boy. That's the first thing I want to say about that. The second is, in this particular culture, this was a way of showing respect. And I encourage you that the best way to operate, the most effective way of building consensus, if you will, and getting things done, is in showing respect to one another. We live in a society and culture right now that believes that it is very effective to demonize and call people names if they happen to disagree with you. But I want to remind you, Jesus said, every house divided against itself will not stand. We as a country, I want you to understand that over the past 10 years or 15 years, 20 years, whatever, we have become more divided instead of more united. Our motto is one nation under God. It's in the Pledge of Allegiance. We should be one nation under God. We are meant to be in operating in the spirit of unity, not the spirit of divisiveness. So I encourage you to respect people as created by God for a purpose. Now, does that mean that we are going to agree on everything? I don't believe so. There are some things that I believe that you might not believe in. There are some things that other people believe that I don't believe. And if there is common ground, great. But there's also a reality that we should show the respect, especially to those whom respect is due. And Joseph was the ruler of the land, and the brothers come in, they present him their gift, and they show him the respect. And as a result of that, in verse number 27, it says, "Then he asked them about their well-being and said, 'Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?'" I want you to know, the brothers came in and they presented a gift and they showed Joseph the respect. And Joseph began to take an active interest in these people who had come to his business, if you will, just to purchase some groceries. Do you see that even though Joseph was the second in command in the land, that he still had an interest in people? Now, you might say, well, these people happen to be his brothers. I want to remind you the way his brothers treated him when he just went on a mission for his father. So if you're going to break out a caveat and say, yeah, he's taking an interest in these people because he's related to them, I could also say, well, he shouldn't be taking an interest in them naturally because of the way that they had treated him. I believe that Jesus has an interest in each and every one of us. I don't believe that Jesus is just looking for us to be saved so there can be another notch on his achievement belt. It says that heaven throws a celebration over each and every one sinner that repents. And I want you to realize that the Bible says that he demonstrated his love to us while we were still his enemies. Do you know that Jesus is passionately interested in you? He finds you fascinating. When I was in a retail environment and when all of my work was done, and if there were no customers in the store, I would go out and stand at the entrance just to watch people. And the reason was simple. I found people just absolutely fascinating. One of my favorite stories was I was standing out there. I was just watching and this guy made eye contact with me. And so he came over and he walked right past the information booth and he walked right up to me and he said, "Sir, could you tell me where the information booth is?" And I will never forget that. It was like, if you will turn around 180 degrees and go about 6 feet, you'll be right there. I just find people fascinating. As a matter of observation, let me give this little helpful tidbit to any parents of teenagers that may be listening out there. And that is this: please don't take your kids to the mall on Friday night and just drop them off at the front door and say, "Hey, I'll be back for you at 9 o'clock. Because one of the things that I observed when I was there, and now this goes back quite a few years, so, I'm not getting anybody in trouble here, was that the parents would drop the kids off at one door, the kids would meet up with whoever they were meeting up with, and then they would walk right out the back door. They would go out a different door, and I don't know where they were going, but they weren't staying at the mall. And so I just give parents this little helpful piece of advice, and that is, take an active interest in your kids. Joseph took an active interest in the brothers first. He took an active interest in the brothers first, and he asked them about their well-being. We had a leadership seminar at our church here not too long ago, a little over a week ago. And one of the exercises that the speaker had us do was he had us pair up into twos, and he had us talk, one person talk for 3 minutes, and the other person listen for 3 minutes without saying a word, and then to invert those roles where the other person talked for 3 minutes, and the person who had been speaking listened for 3 minutes. And it just was a way of taking an active interest, and it's not listening just for our betterment, but it was listening for the benefit of the one who was doing the talking. How many times have you ever felt like no one was paying attention to you? 7 billion people on the planet, and society is telling most of those people that they have no purpose in life, that they're a cosmic accident, and that when they die, it's over. And then they think that no one is paying attention to them, no one is noticing them, no one sees any value in them. And our mission at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally. Guess what? One of the best ways to do that is to take, like Joseph, an active interest in people's life. How are you doing today? Now, let me play a conversation for you. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you? Oh, I'm good. Good. How many times a day does that conversation get played out? So I do not like just the mundane and the routine, and because neither one of those questions are really sincere. They're really just icebreakers and saying, hey, okay, let's get on with the small talk so we can get out and talk brass tacks. But I decided that I did not like that answer. And so when people started coming up to me, I would say, and they would say, how are you today? And I'd say, I'm marvelous. How are you? And I guess it's my Oklahoma accent or whatever, but there have been dozens of times when I have said I'm marvelous, and people would shake their heads and they would say, you're horrible. And to me, marvelous and horrible don't sound that much alike, but for them, they're expecting to hear I'm fine, I'm good, and they heard something else and they just automatically went to the default of, oh no, it must be something bad. And so, no, I didn't say horrible. I said, I'm marvelous. How are you doing? When a person comes to my table, I was like, I almost always say, hey, we're going to pray for our food. Is there anything that we can pray for you about today? And it's a way of taking an interest in people's lives. So if we had, maybe you need to hear that our phone number is 454-4263, or that our Facebook page, you can like us on that and you can send us messages through that Facebook page, or that our email address is meritassembly@hotmail.com, or our website is meritassembly.com, and you can reach us with an email through that website, or you could show up. I want to know, how are you on Tuesday? Now, I realize I'm at a disadvantage. I've got a microphone in front of my face, and I don't have the ability to hear your response. But I want you to know that God wants to know how you are doing. How are you doing? He asked about their well-being. And then he said, is your father well? If you want to really make somebody feel important, remember the details of your conversation that you had with them. I don't know how many different family units in our church, but most of those have extended family that we've had some conversation with in the past. And so whenever I'm around them, I tend to ask, like, one of our families lives up in the Northwest. And so whenever I see them, not only am I interested in how they're doing, it's like, how is your dad doing? How is your family up there in the wildfire regions? How are they doing? Has the fire died down any? And so that's one of the ways that we can find out not only how are you doing, but how is your father? Now, Joseph is asking because that is his father as well, Jacob. He wants to know, how is my father? How is my father? And at this point in time, Joseph's brothers are serving as a bridge. They are serving as a bridge from Jacob to Joseph, a relationship that has been estranged. Now, it was estranged because of the actions of the brothers, but it was an estranged relationship. And I want to challenge you today, especially if you might have family members, to ask God if there is some way that you can't help be a bridge. You can be a spiritual bridge to those in our community from that have yet to hear that Jesus loves them. You can be a bridge from them to the throne room of heaven. And like someone once said, talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. You know why? Because God knows the key to their heart. So be that bridge to help bring healing and reconciliation. The scripture says that God has given to us, the church, the ministry of reconciliation. It is a ministry. It is to minister literally means to serve. And so it is a way that we can serve, is to reconcile the lost to those, to the shepherd who is looking for the lost. That's what we want to do. And so, and they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Now, I'm still not real sure how comfortable the brothers were at this point in time, but he asked a question and they answered. And don't you know that it was good news for Joseph to hear that his father was still alive, and that he was in, he wasn't just alive, he was in good health. Let me move on to verse number 29. "Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?' And he said, 'God be gracious to you, my son.' Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep." So Joseph lifts up his eyes, and there he sees his brother Benjamin, his whole brother Benjamin, his little brother that he has not seen for way too long a time. And the reason that he saw him was because he lifted up his eyes. I want to ask you today if we could pray and ask God to open our eyes to see the people in our community that God loves like his very own kids, that he would give us eyes to see them as our brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, but they're not saved yet. The key word there is yet. It doesn't mean that Jesus didn't die to save them. So we need to lift up our eyes. We've got to get over the constant temptation to be depressed and discouraged and downcast. I want you to lift up your eyes to see the potential and see the goodness of God around you. If there's a need there, the great news is God is a expert need meter. He's an expert in every field. So lift up your eyes. And Joseph says, "Is this your younger brother?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Wow. Wouldn't it be great if all of our sibling relationships were one where we pronounced a blessing over one another? Wouldn't it be great if our family dynamic at home was one that was known to be characterized by "God be gracious to you"? That husbands were praying up for their wives for God to be gracious to them. That parents were praying for their kids for God to be gracious to them. You know, it really doesn't cost us anything to give a compliment. It costs us a little bit of time, a little bit of thought, and that's it. There really isn't much in the way of monetary cost. But did you know that if we flip that coin over and we use our mouth as a way of tearing down those that we are related to or in relationship with, Do you know that there can be a very high price tag that comes as a result of that? I want to encourage you today, as we draw near to the end of the radio broadcast here, to use your mouth as an agent of blessing. Joseph lifts up his eyes, he pronounces a blessing, and then it says in verse number 30, his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. It says that his heart longed for his brother. Now I don't even know if Joseph has the end game in mind yet. I don't know if he knows what the end result of all of this is going to be. Right now, he is just taking care of his extended family with food. But when he sees his brother, there's something that takes place on the inside of him. And all of a sudden, he yearns for his brother. He is moved with compassion. You see, you can be moved by obligation. You can be moved by duty. But Jesus, his heart was moved with compassion. And in the New Testament, the word for moved with compassion, the way I pronounce it is splenkinizomai. And it literally means that there is something taking place inside the physical body that created an urgency to act. And the act that needed to be done was an act of compassion. And so I want to encourage you today that we're going to pray. First of all, I'm going to pray that God will use us to be an agent of blessing with those that we're in relationship with. And then I'm going to pray and ask God that he would move us with compassion, that when we see the needs in our community, that we would be compelled to act. We would not be able to go through the motions anymore. We would be compelled to act in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, may the words of our mouth be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. May they be words that build people up and not tear them down. May they be words that restore value and purpose to those that we come in contact with. And Lord, I pray that you would give us vision, give us eyes to see people as you see them. Lord, and when we see them, may we be moved with compassion. May we be moved to action. May we be moved so urgently, God, that it would change. We would no longer be fulfilling the Great Commission out of obligation or duty, but we would do it because we have developed your heart, a heart of compassion. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.